Welcome back to Oh My Pod, the podcast that teaches you how to automate and grow your podcast. My name is Justin J. Moore, and I help coaches and consultants launch podcasts that only take them 1 hour a week to manage through systems and automation and a whole bunch of other fun stuff. And do you want to make money from your podcast? Like, I just want to know, are you doing this just for fun? Or is there something down the line where you're like, yeah, I want to like at least bring in some money from this show? Well, I wanted to focus specifically on that topic for today's episode. But more specifically, I didn't just want to focus on monetization through sponsorships, because I think that that only applies to the very top level of podcasters, people who are getting huge amounts of listenership. So I wanted to focus on strategies that smaller podcasts can use to immediately make money. And in order to create this episode, I wanted to bring somebody on who's also an expert at this. So I brought on Carl Richards, who is he's been behind the microphone for 25 years. He is a TEDx speaker. He is a 3-time best-selling author. Like, this guy knows his stuff. And on top of all that, he helps people pretty much do what I help people do, but different kinds of people, just create epic podcasts, world-class podcasts. So same type of thing. I thought we would partner up on this, that we could really get down to the nuts and bolts of what it takes to monetize a podcast. And we focused on a few specific strategies that are just different than what you'll hear in the mainstream community about what monetization is. Stuff like creating a small ticket, like a low ticket, in other words, a inexpensive community for your podcast where people can join and you can have conversations and create resources and stuff in there. We also talked about doing like hot seat coaching live on a podcast episode, which is a really cool concept, especially if you're a coach. And we also talked about like joint ventures. And we have a friend, a mutual friend, who uses a joint venture system with his podcast to bring people on the show and ends up making quite a bit of money through that. And all of these are really like authentic ways that feel good to monetize the podcast, because at the end of the day, they really serve the listener as well. And they're not just like making money for money's sake. So anyways, we get into all that and more on this episode. Enjoy. Okay, Carl, welcome to Oh My Pod. I always love talking to other podcasting people. We're a bunch of nerds, but the best kind. I hope that doesn't offend, but I do believe that I would classify myself as that. But how's it going, man?
How did you know I was a nerd? How could you tell? Is it the glasses? Was it the haircut? I don't know. But yeah, just
the lack of haircut, maybe. Well,
thank you. It does get cut occasionally. There's a little bit on the sides and it needs to trim every good, now man. And again. Justice is going very well, man. It's very, very cool to be on this show. I like when podcasters can get together and break bread, as it were, and share ideas. And there's nothing worse than this concept or this idea of, oh, I can't talk to you. You do exactly what I do. No, that's called synergy. That's called, you know, sharing of ideas. That's how industry grows. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's podcasting or, you know, building cars. That's how you get ideas. That's how business grows in general, in my philosophy. So plus, you're not exactly in my backyard. So, you know, and the people you're talking to might be totally different from me, but it's going very well. I'm glad we could share some thoughts and ideas and maybe even have a couple laughs together. Maybe, who knows?
Yes, totally, man. Yeah. I just on that, the kind of competition thing, like, I mean, I think what's going to happen in the next couple of years and this, you know, maybe we talk about that a little bit, but there's going to be a lot of room for people doing this type of work. And, you know, my particular business can't really serve a whole lot of people. We're a little bit more, try to keep it a little bit more personal and boutique. And so, there's room, there's space. So totally hear that. And I think that's kind of an old fashioned way of thinking, especially in the online space. But anyways, I love to just jump right in, right? Because I know as a podcast listener myself, I just really appreciate when the host and the guest sort of treat the listener as like the hero of the journey, and they're the guides. The host and the guest are the guides for the listener. So what that means is like, I really just love to focus on specific problems and try to work on solving those problems for the person listening. There's a lot of shows that are, you know, deep into life stories and all these things. And I mentioned that to you when we were first talking, but I just really like to keep things focused. And so what we talked about when I invited you on was that you have some unique strategies to monetize a podcast outside of the traditional, you know, I would say misconception of sponsorships and just affiliates and all those things. And you've got some other things. So honestly, like, let's talk monetization and let's just have you kind of go off of that.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. The first challenge, and I'll say it's a challenge, but because I believe that when we first come into this space as podcasters, we think that we're going to get rich quick. Well, it's a long game, not a short game. You probably shared that several times on your podcast already, but realizing when you're coming into the space, or if you're already in this space, that this journey to figuring out how does my podcast make money? Firstly, that's the wrong thinking. You shouldn't say, how is my podcast going to make money? It's how am I going to create the type of content that provides value, that brings people coming back every week, but then also brings people to my business? Because that's what I focus on is working with individuals who are building a podcast to help them leverage their credibility, their brand, their business, and ultimately bring in more revenue, right? The challenge, though, is that sponsorship model, like you mentioned, it's not dead in the water, but it's just growing tired. Because when there were three podcasters in the world, it was very easy to get 50,000 subscribers, then go to your local bank and say, hey, I have 50,000 subscribers. Give me money. You'll be sponsoring a great show and an innovative platform. There are something like 5 million podcasters now. Let's not talk about how many are active versus inactive. That's another discussion for another time. But there's about 5 million out there. Well, of those 5 million, the ones who are getting the sponsorship dollars are the ones that, in my opinion, have been there, done that. So the Oprah Winfrey's of the world or the Joe Rogan's, those are the ones who have no problem just raising their hand, waking up in the morning and saying, I have a podcast, you should give me money. It's easy because they've been there, done that, they've done something. Or they have the right type of show, so something that's related to sports or religion or news, anything that you can tie something to that people are deeply interested in on a regular basis. And then there's the people like you and I who get into podcasting because we love it. And like you said, we're nerds. But how can we generate revenue into that? The sponsorship model doesn't work. Because unless we have a large enough following and enough of the right content, how are we going to convince people to sponsor our show? Because the first thing they're going to ask is, what are your stats? And Justin, you probably know that stats in the podcasting space, they're different from radio, television, back in the day. They're different from print because it's a different kind of audience engagement. It's on demand versus stream. It's also, you don't know who your listeners are necessarily unless you built a community and you see them on a regular basis. Anyhow, so that's the challenge with the sponsorship model. But there are other ways to do it. And it can go back to, for example, your content. Do you have the right kind of content that people are engaged with? Are you giving people a reason to come back other than, thank you very much, join me next week? That's not enough of a CTA or call to action, as we call it, to have coming back, right? And you've probably either done that, I've done it to be quite honest, to be back in the early days, or you've heard other podcasters do it and it's almost like you feel a little bit ripped off, but you don't know you feel ripped off. But a good example that I'll share with you is it's like if I said, Justin, come to my house for dinner. You've never been here before. By the way, it's beautiful in Gananoque, Ontario. I know you're a West Coast boy. You'll love it here though. Come visit in the summer. Anyhow, that aside, it's like if I gave you directions to my house and I said, Justin, I live in Gananoque, and I left it at that. And I didn't give you the directions to my house. What are you going to do? Come.
Yeah, it would end there.
Bang on every door until you find mine. Like, it's not going to happen. So you need to give people, what do you want me to do with this information that you just shared with me? In the speaking world, it's called a call to action, or even on your website. Actually, in the website world, it's called something different, but in the speaking world, it's called a call to action. So what do you want me to do with this? Do you want me to pick up a checklist? Is there a link for a checklist? Is there some kind of a downloadable? Is there something you want me to do on your website? And that leads to, or can lead to, a path to cash. Now, that's a sort of a long path to cash, but there are other things that you can do with that content. So here's one that we were talking about off mic for a minute there. I have clients who have started to adopt what is known in the coaching world as hot seat coaching, and doing that on their podcast. So let's say, for example, you have a client, they'd really like to work with you. It's not in their budget right now, but they'd really like to get something of value from you other than your book or your downloadable. Well, if you're a coach or a consultant or a health and wellness expert, you can say, hey, you know what? Why don't you come on my podcast? I'll solve one piece of your problem, one tiny, tiny piece. And to for doing that, instead of paying me, I don't know, $5,000 or whatever your coaching program or package is, it's going to cost you $100 or $150 or whatever. You get to decide what that value price is, right? Well, you're going to seem like a hero because you're going to help solve their problem, and you've just given them a great price, but you're still going to give them some value. And you still have a guest on your show, which is going to give you some value, because they're going to share it with all their friends in their network, we hope. That's the other thing in the podcasting space. But you're going to share it too, that, hey, this is what I can do. I'm an expert in this space. I can do this hot seat coaching thing that I've possibly already done on physical stages. I can do it on the podcast. And there are more and more coaches that are leveraging that as a way to bring in revenue.
Yeah. And I want to add on to that as well, because like also just monetization aside, the idea of giving people a taste of your coaching chops or prowess or whatever you want to say, like even just from a strategic like perspective, showcasing that on your podcast is going to be like a really good move. And on top of that, I bet it would make for incredibly interesting content, because having somebody come on the show with a problem that, you know, likely the majority of your listeners also have that problem or have had that problem in the past, hearing that answer live could be like a really cool piece of content. So, and then charging for it as well. Like, I mean, you could even say, you know, $500 and then, you could put that number at whatever you want. And then you could also shoot back a bit of content towards them. You could give them some, like maybe a few really well-crafted video clips, especially if you have a team behind the show, and you can say, hey, you know, extra clips for this one. So I feel like there's definitely some room there for, yeah, like great content, a little bit of kickback for the show so that you can kind of cover some of those costs. And like you could do something like that monthly. Like you could make that a series. You could be like, you know, this is March, the March hot seat, the April hot seat. And you just bring people in who are in your community or leads within your network. And you say, I'm going to get you on my show. I'm going to help you live on the spot with a legitimate problem that you're trying to solve. And then I'm going to, you know, also deliver you a bunch of content. And in order for you to get in front of my audience like this and get the coaching and the content, it's going to be like this little, you know, $497 package or whatever. And then throw some bonuses on top of that, give them like access to a part of your course for free or something. And now you've got like a little side offer that, you know, is, and then I'm sure you're going to go into a couple more things, but you know, if you're bringing in $500 a month from your podcast, that's definitely a start. And that's going to really, like, that's going to make a difference. And if you combine that with something else, now you can start having even like multiple streams of things coming in from your show that are actually bringing in some kickback. So continue there. I think that's one of the better ideas I've heard on all fronts for a while.
100%. And it's almost like a mini joint venture, really. You're saying, I can give you some hot seat coaching, and why don't I include a couple of other things for you? And you come on my show, right? The other thing that seems to be working that I've seen more people doing, and I think this is where podcasting, maybe not just podcasting, but I think content creators should be focusing for the next year or 10 or maybe even beyond that, is it's not just about the show. It's not just about what you do for that 20 minutes or 30 minutes that you're recording or talking to your guest. So many people want to know what goes on behind the scenes, what goes on after the show. And this is becoming more and more of not only a value proposition, but people are eating this stuff up. Now, when I was younger, Star Wars was brand new. I'm that many years old. I have that many more candles on my cake. But Star Wars was brand new, but everybody wanted to watch television when the making of Star Wars or the making of Star Trek, when it came on TV, you wanted to watch it because you wanted to know how they did all the fight scenes and the special effects and, you know, the stunts and all those things. It's the same thing in the podcasting space. There's just probably a few less stunts, but let me give you an example of how this can sound or how this can look. When you're having a conversation with your guest, and if you've set this up correctly, you can take that content and continue the conversation in the green room. By the way, there's no green room. It's just a space where you're going to continue the conversation.
The fake virtual green room.
Yeah. Justin, it's great having you on the show today. We're going to continue the conversation with Justin. There's four more questions I want to him. The main question I want to ask him is, whatever that question is. So in the broadcast world, it's called a hook or tease. You're going to tease people to continuing to joining you to continue on the conversation. But here's the rub of this. They need to be a premium subscriber or a premium member or something like that. And you can easily set that up on the back end of your website where you have, you know, listen to the podcast for free. But if you're a premium member, you get X, Y, and Z, whatever that is, including access to the green room after the show or access to Justin's back library or whatever it is. So that has some value and it doesn't need to be a high price point. It can be every month. If you pay $25, you have access to the green room. Oh, and by the way, we're going to have a monthly mastermind as well, where we're going to sit down and talk about something. All of a sudden, you think, well, $25, you're not going to get rich off that. But if you have 100 people joining you at that level, $2,500 a month, even if it was only $250, just by having a little bit of bonus content and a little bit more that goes on after the show, people will eat it up like it's candy. They will love you and they'll want to do more. The other thing that'll happen is if you do that or when you do that, guess what? You're developing more of that know, like, and trust factor. And when people know you, like you, and trust you, guess what they're going to do? When you have a larger offering, a program, a service, whatever it is, they're likely going to be your warm audience that's going to buy from you.
Yeah. So the podcast is like the top. And then it leads into the community. And I mean, I'm a big advocate of just like a purely free community as well. Like even just because I know like from my perspective, podcasting is the people who listen to podcasts, it's very, very difficult to get them off of these platforms. And you have to sell like each thing that you're asking them to do is your mini sale. And so for me, when I think of, you know, the podcast, I need to sell my audience to even just get into my free community. That's my first sale. I didn't make anything off of that, but at least now I have an actual human in my space that I can even talk to, right? I do everything on school. And then once they're in there, then they build exactly like you said, that know, like, and trust. And we have all kinds of different things from there. I mean, we do one big thing, but and down the road, you know, like a paid community is something that we are absolutely going to explore. But for people listening, like I do think that a really low ticket paid community, like you said, like $25-$27, like absolutely, like you're not trying to generate a like 10x multiple on your podcast within the first year or 2 years, but you can think of it as any amount of money that you can bring back on your show is money saved, or is, you know, so any way that you can do that. And I really like how we're coming about that. But yes, just to summarize what I meant there is like a free community is a great place to put people out to get them off the podcast into the free community, or a really low ticket community, like you said, Carl. And I think both of those things, like that's super genius. You said it yourself, barely any extra work, barely. You're just recording a little longer and you're plopping it down in your community. And from that, you're not just making a little bit of money, but you're also creating real fans who you can speak to and see. And, you know, like it's tangible.
Those are the fans too, that if you are building it as a free community, they're the ones that will, when you do have something that is paid, they're the ones that will be the first ones to dive into it. So let's say you do have, you know, after every show, you do the green room concept. You can do that. That's easy enough to do. Or you have a monthly mastermind or something like that where people get together every month. I have a client who is a gin enthusiast. We were talking about this off air. And she's basically started what's called a happy hour. So every month, what she does is she hosts. So you got to be careful how you do this because of liquor law stuff. But, you know, it's a happy hour. And if she'll have guests come on and she'll all kinds of different things that she can do in that space. But that aside, and it's free, but there are other things that your audience might want to tap into down the line. Well, let's say you host an event, a big event twice a year, virtual or in person, doesn't really matter. They're the ones who are going to say, oh, I want to get a ticket to that. I want to attend that thing. And that's how you start to build community. And that builds even more of the know, like, and trust factor. The other thing that I've really noticed is there is a shift towards joint ventures. So I mentioned that the concept of doing Hussey coaching is like a mini joint venture. And there are people that are making, not so much making money off their podcast, but by presenting joint ventures where being a guest on the show is one piece of that, they've been able to leverage thousands upon thousands of dollars in additional revenue just by doing that. And how this works is, now, mind you, you need things in place. So you need a community already. You need some type of social media presence. You need to be prepared to host a webinar or some type of a live event or a streamed event with an individual. So you need something that has some teeth already. And there are some great coaches or thought leaders out there that already have that. But if you do have that, that has value. And I know of an individual that did this. He's been podcasting since podcasts were in diapers. That's how long.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Anyways, he's been doing it a long time. And what he did was he realized he was getting the wrong guests on his show. So he started to conceptualize this joint venture. And when he did that, I think his first one was $500, right? Still pretty cheap and cheerful. But what happened was he started getting more of the guests that he wanted. And then he was getting more of the guests he wanted. He realized, wait a minute, this is way more than $500. It's got more value to it than that. So it's currently now, I think, a $5,000 Canadian package. I think it went up to $1,000, then $3,000. Now it's $5,000. And part of that is being a guest on his podcast. So he's not charging to be on his podcast. He gives you a whole litany of other value, including being in his community on Facebook, getting to post it on his wall, get to use his email list to send out information, or actually he probably sends it out on your behalf. You'll host a live event, you'll host a webinar together. And then there's the podcast. And if you're a business owner, if you're a coach or a consultant looking at this going, I want to invest some of my revenue, but I want to make sure I'm getting my money back. You're going to get great value because he has a huge community. So that's why you need to have those things in place. But even if you don't have a large community like he does, we're talking over 100,000 people that he can offer you and a lot of great things he can do. But you can still offer something that has value and you put a price tag on it, even if it is only $500, again, look at what that's going to do for your revenue stream.
Yeah, it's funny enough. I've actually purchased what you're talking about from who you're talking about. So he's been on the show. So it's, I think, episode 16 or something. It's Mark Mawhinney.
Okay.
One of my favorite guys on planet Earth. And his brother actually has a great podcast editing company who is totally, totally filled up all the time. So very rarely are they looking for new clients, but really, really cool. Yeah, he's got a cool system. And obviously he does have quite a big community, but I do think that there are ways that you could get creative in there. Now, I'm not an advocate for having people like accepting cold guests just for a flat fee with no kind of, like, I mean, like you just said, it's not that. It's a package of things where he vets the person. So it's not like, hey, if you pay me $1,000, anybody who pays me $1,000 can get on my podcast. It's like, no, that's not at all what he's doing. It's he looks at each person, and if they're not a good fit, they're not going to come on. So he's vetting the person, getting a great guest for his show, but also, like, he's spent 800 or 900 episodes building this audience. And if you want to get in front of any audience, you know, in the world, you know, you got to, you know, absolutely, like, paying for it makes sense. So I think it's a really cool, like, it's a cool thing that he's got there. So that could, you know, if you even have a smaller community, or you have, like, maybe you have a community with 100 people or a couple hundred people, plus you have some followers on Instagram, and then maybe, like, you know, let's say 5K on LinkedIn and 5K friends on Facebook, whatever, then you could kind of, like, you could create something similar to that where somebody comes on your show, gets in your community, gets all over your pages as well. And you wouldn't need the same scale as Mark, but you could charge a bit less. And there you go. You've got, again, you have multiple streams of things that are kind of kicking back on your podcast.
And by the way, Mark, the fact that Justin and I are talking about you, we think that's worth something. So if you can send us a check each.
Yes.
Or an e-transfer. I mean, it's, you know, the recording
of the show. Where's my kickback?
It's 2024, you know. So just send us an e-transfer. We're okay with that. But no, seriously, he does have a great system. And he's figured it out as he's gone along, right? But you're right. He's not just saying, give me some money and come on my show. That pay-to-play model. there are so many people that are just doing the pay-to-play model. And I'm like, unless you are an individual that is a well-known thought leader or you have celebrity status, that doesn't really work. Because I'm going to ask the question, who are you? I mean, who are you to ask me for $500 or $1,000, especially if you don't have, and this goes back to why the sponsorship model, it's not broken, but it doesn't work for the average person, because unless you have those stats that are very different in the podcasting space, but people want to see, it's not going to work. So if you say, come on my show, it's only $1,000 and all I can show you is 300 downloads per episode. Well, that's actually I'm not a bad stat, but you want more like 3,000 or 30,000 or for it to be worth your hard-earned dollar. So I think when you look at the monetization as a whole, look at ways that within your business or whatever it is you're doing, you're using the podcast for. I know that most of your clients, Justin, are business people who are their coaches, their consultants. Think of what you can offer and think of the audience and what you can give them that's of value. So those other things you can do after the show, or if you're going to consider a joint venture, what are some things that you could offer those really top line guests that will give value to your audience, but also be of value to you as a participant on your show?
Yeah, totally. I love it. So I guess just to summarize before we kind of wrap it up. So we've got number one would be like hot seating, which is such a fantastic idea, bringing people onto your show who need some coaching and delivering them maybe some type of content package on the back end, and also at the same time creating amazing content for your podcast, a really unique kind of content that I don't see a lot of people doing. Number two would be like a free or a really low ticket community that, you know, whether it's free or low ticket, either way, it eventually will make you money, of course. But yeah, like a $27 a month community where you just drop people in there and you have extra content in there. It's not a whole lot of extra work, but it brings some back. And then joint venture, but also just like kind of more broadly, I would say is looking at what your strengths are within your business and what you currently have access to that you think could be of value to, well, people, and then utilizing that to get some type of kickback again on the show. And so, well, I guess what I'm kind of gleaning from all this is like, none of these things are going to make you rich, but they are all going to be a much, much better use of your time than trying to get sponsorships or like affiliate deals or things when you barely have, you know, you don't have much of an audience. And so sponsors aren't going to pay you anything, really. They're not even going to want to get involved. And affiliates, well, you don't have a whole, like a massive audience to kind of get that kickback as well. So I really like where this went. And do you think that, do you have anything else to add into what I just said there?
Yeah, I think that the other thing I want to add is just if you're considering, or if it's been in the back of your mind for a while, you know, monetization, how can I make money from my show? Again, it's not about how can I make money from my show. It's what other value can I give my audience that's going to make them want to be a part of a community or give them something to follow? But then who can I partner with that can also bring value to my community? So always think about the value, because when you think about the value, the money comes. When you think about your mission, goals, and values, right? Think about that. You don't think about maybe you do think about the money a little bit, but the money always is the last piece. So like you say, when you're building this out the first time, you do have to put a dollar sign on it at some point. But the biggest thing is, what can I do above and beyond what's the traditional or that's become mainstream that's going to make me rise above what everyone else is doing and be seen in a space that where not everyone is even considering doing this yet? But that's the only other thing I would add is that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Absolutely. I agree. Content and message and who it's for is always, you know, once that farther you stray from that, the more lost I think people become. So
content is king, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Carl. I mean, like, where do you want to send people? And if anybody wants to connect with you or, you know, learn more about what you're up to?
Yeah, I would say go to podcastsolutionsmadesimple.com. I know it's a mouthful, podcastsolutionsmadesimple.com. We've done some amazing things. We're still working on some of the back end, including about our community. But I know, Justin, again, you and I do the same thing, but check out what we're doing. You never know when Justin and I might be joint venturing or collaborating. You never know.
Totally.
Like Justin said, we're nerds, so we just might need to, like, nerds get together and play Dungeons and Dragons or whatever. So
boom.
Boom.
Yeah.
So yeah, but definitely go there. PodcastSolutionsMadeSimple.com. You'll find some great resources there. And I always, if nothing else, like having conversations with people to find out what they're doing, because this is a very, the one thing I find about podcasting, Justin, if I can just say this very quickly, is it's a very supportive, welcoming and close-knit community. So it's not about, you know, if you have a conversation with me, it's, you know, oh my God, Justin's going to hate that. No, Justin's going to love it because he knows that's what this community is all about. So looking forward to having a conversation with you. Reach out.
Yeah, cool. We'll end it off there. Thanks a lot, Carl.